Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Michael Parmenter is one of New Zealand's best known names in dance, with three decades under his belt as a choreographer. Tent, his latest production and first full-length performance in almost 10 years, has just finished in Wellington and opens in Auckland next week. Michael joins me now. Michael, first of all, I believe congratulations are in order.
Yes, I've just received an AMP scholarship which will enable me to head off to Paris next year. I have just finished my Master's in Philosophy this year, and I'm off to do a PhD with a particular philosopher in Paris called Renaud Barbaros, whose work I'm really fascinated with. So this scholarship will fund my sort of accommodation in that for the first period in Paris.
You're going to the Sorbonne, I believe.
I am going to the Sorbonne. It's very strange from a little country boy in Invercargill to think that I'm ending up going to the Sorbonne, but it's just fortuitous that this is the institution that this particular guy is attached to. It wasn't part of my dream as a little boy to study philosophy at the Sorbonne, but that's how it's turned out.
There are worse places to do it, I believe.
Paris, one can't complain, really. Now, it's going to be very exciting.
How does this link in to your dance?
Well, ever since I began dancing, I've always been interested in the theory of movement and of bodies and how we live our bodies. And over the years, through being asked to speak at conferences as a creator about creativity and that, I've started to do some research on the nature of innovation and how we create the new out of the familiar. And I decided a few years ago that I would put my ideas that I had been collecting in these various speaking engagements that I had done into a context. You know, you can sort of philosophize by yourself and think you're sort of Aristotle or something like that. But I decided to go to university and have a go and do a degree. And the response has been amazing. I've had really great marks and great response to my thesis and that. So I found that thinking about movement, about what defines the living from the non-living, is very closely related to dance. You know, we think of dance as a metaphor for life. It's like if certain arts celebrate various aspects of the world, theatre, sort of our social dynamic and that sort of thing. I think dance celebrates the livingness of the world, what defines aliveness as opposed to the non-living. And so that's the area that I'll be studying for my PhD.
I had a friend who went to university and dropped out of his Master's in Philosophy when he realised he was spending all day trying to prove that he didn't exist. Is there a little bit of that?
Sometimes it's refreshing to get an outside perspective on the philosophical world. I'm reading a book at the moment by Clive James called Cultural Amnesia, and in one of the chapters he does a scathing profile of Jean-Paul Sartre. Now, you know, I'm a bit ambivalent about Sartre myself, but to read something from an outside perspective, someone comes from a different tradition, philosophy can look incredibly sort of isolated and introspective. But the particular tradition of philosophy that I'm interested in, which is called continental philosophy, is very much connected with the real world, political issues, social agendas, how we define, well, as I say, how we define the living from the non-living is a very important issue for bioethics, for political sort of control of nations and things like that.
So are we going to lose you to Paris for the next 5 or so years?
No, the degree that I'm doing is, it's called a co-tutelle, and it's a combination. So I'll be doing a 6 months at the dance department in Auckland University and 6 months in the philosophy department at the Sorbonne each year for the next 3 years. So it's sort of like an ideal life, really. I keep my connection with New Zealand and keep contact with the dance world because I'll sort of be doing practical dance projects while I'm doing the study here as well, so my creativity won't sort of come to an end.
Would you attempt to do anything practical while you're in Paris?
No, I'm thinking that while I'm there, you know, I'll be struggling a little bit with the language for a while. You know, I mean, I read French quite well, but my spoken French is non-existent almost, so I've got a lot of work to do there. I think I would rather concentrate on having the opportunity to study with this man. That's why I'm going there. It seems rather sort of beside the point to then go and get caught up in some dance production there when really spending time and understanding his philosophy is what I should be doing there.
And while you get this exciting news that you're going to be going to Paris, you're actually in the midst of one of your biggest productions in quite some time, Tent.
Yes, I haven't done a major full-length work anyway since Jerusalem in 1999. Of course, most of my time has gone, I suppose, to the study of recent times. But this particular work is very much related to the study that I've been doing. For my master's, a lot of the work that I was looking at was how we define the individual, the living individual. And in the past, Western philosophy has very much focused on self-consciousness, the awareness of one's own aliveness, a very sort of introspective way of defining life. So we're alive because we know we're alive. But there's a movement in philosophy at the moment to define the living not by this turning inwards, but by things that reach out and connect with the outside world. So living things are things that touch and move and connect with the world, as opposed to your coffee cup, for example, which is just sitting on the table and living its own life, but of its very sort of static sort. But living things reach out and contact with the world. So tent, for me, is a metaphor. You know, it's a structure that's supported by these wires that hold it up from the outside. So I wanted to find choreographic devices and techniques that would be much more consistent with this way of understanding existence. And so in the past, I've always made up movement on my own body and then taught it to other dancers, a very egocentric way to work. And so I wanted to now think, how can you choreograph by drawing the movement out of the dancers instead of trying to turn the dancers into little me's? So over the past few years, I've been developing these improvisational techniques to try and provoke and put dancers in situations that they would create interesting movement. And then in this work, I've been using those devices to create a new work. So it's very collaborative with the dancers. But I've actually taken it a step further. We've enjoyed the sort of improvisational structure so much that I've kept improvisation to a large extent in the work itself. So we've choreographed sections, but there are probably 50% of the work will be improvised by the dancers on the performance, you know, in the show. And a lot of that improvisation itself, too, is not solo improvisation, but it's dancers improvising together. So again, that reflects that idea that livingness is not this thing that is stuck and turned in on itself, but is reaching out and dialoguing with otherness.
This sounds like, I mean, a dance sort of thing of someone like perhaps Harry Sinclair's approach to filmmaking. It is Harry Sinclair, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no scripts, a lot of improvisation. Now, that can work really, really well in some cases, and he's had some very good films. He's also had some absolute dogs, I think. You've gone for a week in Wellington. How did your improvisation technique work out?
Well, I'm thrilled with the work. I think it works fantastically well. And in answer to your question, I think you make a good point. I did actually come into this work with no preconceived notions. Like you say, with Harry, no script. I was quite clear that I didn't want to predetermine the structure of the work. Normally when I make a work, I have like a pre-existing piece of music or a thematic sort of outline, a narrative structure or something. I was very clear that I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make the work come out of the movement being provided by the dancers. But I did know that I had a theme, and that was this exposure of the body to the world, that we're not each person with a moat around us, but where there is easy traffic, like a tent. There's an easy traffic between inside and outside. A tent is sort of like an inside-outside that you take out into the nature, but you've got this little inside there as well. So it was that easy traffic between boundaries that I knew that was the theme. I think what saves the work somewhat from the danger of getting lost was the fact that I have had 30 years of experience of making very structured, clearly defined narrative pieces. So even though I came into this work with no predetermined notion, as the material was being produced, I was automatically shaping it into a narrative. So I think it was a combination of, drawing it out of the material, but also 30 years of making pieces that I think structure is actually one of my strong points. So I think the combination of the process and my innate ability was a good idea. And I think it works. The response in Wellington has been wonderful.
Well, look, knowing all that, knowing what's gone in behind it, I look forward to seeing it. It opens on Monday in Auckland.
That's right.
Runs from the 13th through to the 19th. There's at the Maben Theatre. For more information and tickets,
you can go to Tent Dance Project, all one word, tentdanceproject.com.
And that's our show for another week. If you missed any of that or would like to hear some of it again, you can find it on our website, publicaddress.net/radio, as soon as Damien puts the files up there. I'm David Slack.
And I'm Damien Christie. Thanks, New Zealand On Air.